Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, for we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe, and hold to the truth that Jesus Christ has given us three commands in which all of the scriptures are summed up from Genesis to Revelation, that we are to love God, love others, and go. In loving God, that means we love His Word, we love His Son, we love His precepts, we love His principles. And in that, it means that we attach those principles to our lives in loving others and going out into the world with this very gospel that He has given us, with the truth which brings us to life. And that truth has a name, and His name is Jesus the Christ. So today, we are going to continue with that. And I want us to think about something, because as we are going through Mark here, we're in Mark 13. You can turn there because we're going to start at Mark 13, verse 1 is where we're going to start today. But while you're turning there, I want to remind you something. We are now at the point in the gospel where we are in the last week of Jesus' life. In fact, what we're going to read today is taking place on Tuesday. This is the Tuesday of His last week. They are in the midst of this summation of Christ coming to that place of dying on the cross. We are in the midst of this end of something and the beginning of something else. Does that sound familiar to us in any way today, being November the 2nd? Yeah, because we have an election looming, and something's going to change. It's either going to be a continuation of the same old, or it's going to be a changing unto something new. And I dare say, regardless of what happens, it is going to be something new. I don't care what happens on the 5th, because we won't know what the election has done until probably sometime in December. We all know that because of the way they have messed with things in our world. But I want us to understand, we're in the last week. We're in the last week. What do I mean by that? We are wrapping up this age of time. We are wrapping up all this stuff that Jesus is foretelling us here in this last week. We need to realize that something is getting ready to change. I've been speaking about this for months. I've been speaking about this for close to a year now, that we are approaching the end of days. All of us need to understand that reality. And in the approaching of this thing, all these things are going to get worse. Do you think it's going to be better after November 5th? I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to become absurd with the things that you are going to see that will happen after November 5th until sometime in 2025. And then that's not guaranteed to end it. Things are going to change. Things always change. Jesus was getting ready here. He was telling these people how things are going to change. And He gave them a roadmap of what was going to take place. And that's where we're going to pick up today, because they ask Him the question, how will we know when these things are about to happen? And I want us to understand it from that perspective, because I want us to understand Jesus here is giving us a snapshot of time in just a few words. He's showing everything that's going to transpire from that moment until eternity is ushered in. Well, actually, the millennium is ushered in. So He's talking about a period of time that I believe to be somewhere close to 3,000 years in just a few paragraphs. How can that be? Because it's a snapshot. It's a picture. And then from that, you have to decide what's really going on, what's there. And He's going to give us instruction of how to live, because it's changing. Things are getting ready to move. So to that, let's turn our attention. For thus saith the word of the Lord. As He was going out of the temple, one of His disciples said to Him, "Teacher, behold, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down." As He was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning Him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See to it that no one mislead you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. The gospel must be first preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Now that's just the first part. We're going to break this up into three different parts. But in this first part, I believe, this is my contention and the contention of many theologians, this is the transporting of us from the time of Christ's crucifixion to the resurrection. And when I say the resurrection, I mean us. I mean us being translated into heaven. I mean us going up before the Lord. I mean us being brought before Him as His church, translated to Him in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. The dead in Christ will be raised, and then we who are left will be called up to meet Him in the air. Does it say that? Yes, it does. It tells me that here because it says the one who endures to the end will be saved. What end? To the end of that time period. For all these things that Jesus is speaking of here have to take place. Have they taken place? Yes, they've been taking place throughout history. We know there have been famines. We know there have been earthquakes. We know there have been all these things. But we need to remember, he says, these are just the beginning of birth pangs. How much more are we seeing these things happening today than we have ever seen them happen? How much closer are we to the point of the possibility of truly nuclear war in our world today? I know it's a term that's simply just thrown out there, but it's the truth. We need to understand we are closer today than we have ever been. And it's going to get worse until this time. Endure to the end. Is that what, not what he says? Endure to the end. In other words, we don't give up right now. It doesn't end on November 5th. It's not over once you go to the voting booth. It's going to continue. We all need to understand, even after the crucifixion of Christ, it continued, didn't it? It was not over for the disciples. It continued. It's going to continue because there's yet more to come. That's why all Christians should be buried with a fork. At the end of every potluck dinner, what do they tell you? Hang on to your fork. Dessert's coming. We know there's more yet to come, and it's the best part. Brothers and sisters, when we think about the words that Christ is showing us here, it's a snapshot of time. He's letting us know these things are going to happen, and they're going to get worse until that great and fateful day. We need to understand that in that great and fateful day, when the church is taken up, there is going to be a moaning and groaning going on. I want you to think about that. There is going to be a time such as never been seen, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But I want us to understand where we are. It's not time to quit. I was going to bring this up, and it just so amazes me how God literally confirms His word to us when we are out and about in our world. There are many times you may be thinking something, but all of a sudden somebody who you've not spoken to about a certain incident will come up to you and make a comment. And how many of you have had those light bulbs go off and say, "Oh my gosh, how did they know that?" Because God is God and we are not. And God uses His people to talk to His people, to confirm Himself, to confirm His covenants, to confirm His word, to give us the hope that we can hold on to day after day after day. For we have every reason to hope in Jesus Christ. We know these horrible things are coming, but we also know there's something better yet coming, because these things have to happen in order for this to happen. And as it does, as we see these things transpire, are we going to lose heart? No, no. He says, he who endures to the end. How many of you like enduring? He didn't say you had fun. He said you will endure. In other words, you're going to suffer through it, just as he suffered through this time in his life when he was giving himself up to all of us for our sin. So too must we pay the price for sin as much as it is possible on our part. And that means we shall not see death unto eternal death, but we are going to feel the pangs of it until the day we die. I hate escapism. How many preachers preach escapism? Oh, you accept Jesus and everything's going to be just fine. That's horse hockey. Jesus speaks truth to us. He told these men right here it was going to get tough. Endure. Endure. Don't you dare give up. He didn't give up on us. Now let us not give up on Him. He has given us the hope of glory, and that hope of glory is secure. How do we know it? For the Lamb of God shed His blood on this earth, and He was resurrected alive, and He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And a day is going to come when the same way He went up, He's coming back. But I'll guarantee you there ain't going to be one happy person on this earth when that happens. Because when He comes back, He's not coming back as a suffering servant. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the vengeance of an almighty God is going to be in His way. And He is going to rule on this earth with an iron scepter. We need to understand what's coming. He told us. And He's being real. Are we going to be real? Are we going to think Donald Trump is going to save us? Heavens no. He's a politician. He's a businessman. He's running for a government position. Do we need good government? Yes, we need good government. But I'm going to tell you right now, no man save the man Jesus Christ is our salvation. Can I get an amen? God uses broken people. And I think it's kind of amazing because there are so many Christians right now who will not vote. I don't understand that. Well, I just don't see the point. Really? Really? If you are a Christian, how can you not vote? When you see the evil in this world and you keep silent, you are coming alongside of that evil. That's the truth. You don't have to like me. In fact, you can hate me. That's wonderful. I'm just a nobody trying to tell you about somebody. And that somebody has saved my soul. And that somebody is the one that everybody needs to know. And knowing that somebody, knowing Jesus Christ, tells me that I have a responsibility to live my life the way Jesus would have lived His life. And when Jesus was questioned and He was asked, you know, well, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And Jesus said to them, what? Render under Caesar what is Caesar's, but unto God what is God's. And as God's children, we're to be doing right. We're to be doing good. We're to be light in this world. We're to be salt into this world. And if you're not doing what's right, you're not being light and you're not being salt. So what good are you except to be thrown out on the road and trampled by the livestock? Do you get my point? Because those folks are going to head into a darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need to remember Jesus warned us of those very things. Because those Christians who do not practice their Christianity need to question whether they are truly Christian. Christian is simply a word. Saved is a lifestyle. Saved is who you become. Saved is what you do because of whose you are and because of what He has done for us. Jesus here is telling us what's coming, and it is upon us. But yet there's more to come. And this is what we need to remember because, you know, a lot of Christians, you're, well, I can't wait to get out of here. Man, we need to do everything possible. The Word says that we're supposed to do everything possible to hasten that day, right? That means we're to make it happen. So in other words, for us to make it happen, we also have to be working on getting people into the kingdom. Because we need to remember, once the kingdom's closed, the kingdom is closed. Now, I want you to understand. Now, does that mean that people aren't going to be saved during the tribulation? No, people will be saved during the tribulation, but they will not be the bride of Christ. They're going to be something different in heaven. They will make it into heaven, but they're going to be different. They won't be as we are. In fact, they're going to be the bridesmaids. They're going to be the ones who are serving us. Please understand that. The Scripture spells these things all out. There will be those who are saved. They're going to still be God's elect, but God has different levels of heaven just as there are different levels of hell. Do we all understand that? So it's coming to that comprehension because those people who die or who become saved after we're gone, they don't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. That's why He says, don't worry about what you need to say because the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. But once we're gone, the Holy Spirit's silent because He's not working in the lives of the people because the restrainer has been taken away, and the restrainer is God holding Satan back right now. And He's doing that through us, the church. And when we're gone, there's no restraint. So what is that time going to look like? Let's read on. He says, but when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one who is on the housetop must not go down or go in to get anything out of his house. And the one who is in the field must not turn back to get his coat. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that it may not happen in the winter. For those days will be like a time of tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created until now and never will. Unless the Lord had shortened these days, my pages won't flip, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect whom He chose, He shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, He is there, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But take heed. Behold, I have told you everything in advance. That, dear friends, is the beginning of the tribulation. When the abomination of desolation sets itself up before the peoples. We need to understand what that is talking about. We need to understand that that is something that's going to happen in Israel, where the Antichrist is literally going to put himself into power, and we will see this horrible, wretched thing. We're not going to see it. We're not going to be here. Can I get an amen? And to that I praise the Lord, because it is not for us to see the wrath of God. And I think it's amazing because there are so many pastors, and I love them and I respect them, and I do mean that. Because there are a bunch of pastors out there that I listen to who do not believe in the rapture of the church, at least the pre-trib rapture. They think it's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. But God has said we will never see His wrath. Is not the tribulation the wrath of God poured about upon unjust men? So how can God be a liar? He can't be a liar. Exactly. My elders and deacons, everybody say it. He can't. So we need to understand. We are gone. We are translated out of here. And I'm not talking escapism, because when you and I are gone, our hearts are going to be heavy because we know we've left and there are still people here who are going to die and go to hell. It's not going to be a time to rejoice, at least not in the moment. In the moment, we're going to say, oh, crud. Did I do enough? Do you think you're going to stand before the Lord and go, woohoo, I made it? I don't think there's going to be one of us who's going to do that. We're all going to hit our knees and say, oh, I'm worthless. When you stand before glory, do you think you can emulate self? But Jesus is going to say, it's okay. This is what I've ordained. Because this is the way it has to be. Evil has to be laid out. Evil has to be laid down. And the justification has to come. Justification has to come. God has judged since the beginning of time. He has set it aside for a period of time known as the church age, the age of grace, because of His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And aren't we glad we live in it? But now is the time to choose, because the time is changing. The time is coming. And when that time comes, there will be those who are saved. Did you read it here? Did you read it here? I read it. Because it says in here that very reality, that there are going to be those who will be saved. And it says that you know, we need to understand that lest He shorten the days, those who are elect in that period of time wouldn't be able to stand. What kind of things do you think are going to be happening that God literally has to shorten the days? How many of us are getting older? We think the days just fly by now. Think what it's going to be like during this period of time. Because it's going to be day after day after day after day after day of judgment. Do you think they're going to be eating and drinking and marrying and having parties and all that kind of stuff during this period of time? If you read the book of Revelation, do you know how many people die during the tribulation? The population of the earth drops to less than 25%. It's horrendous what happens, because sin must be judged. But we'll not be here, because our sin will never be judged. Our sin was judged on the cross of Jesus Christ. So choose now, choose today. Understand, this is the day the Lord hath made, and we need to walk in it. But it's not over. There's more to come, because God is letting us know that His wrath will be here, and His wrath will be full. His wrath will be complete, and He will justify Himself, and He will justify His earth. He will justify His creation. He will bring it back to that right place in which He initially sent it to go. And then sin entered in. This is a snapshot of time. And in this snapshot, He's showing us a lot. The next thing I want us to understand is there is going to come an end before the beginning. And that's when the Christ returns. So let us read on from chapter 24, or from verse 24. He says, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then He will send forth the angels and will gather together His elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that He is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on alert. Hence the title, Be On the Alert. We don't know when these things are going to happen. There's three things he's talking about happening here. We don't know when the Christ is going to call the church up to him. We do not know what the day nor the hour when we will be translated to him, but we need to be ready. And those who are being saved during the tribulation without the Holy Spirit, they need to be ready because they don't know when the final blow is going to come, when the Christ is going to descend and he is going to pull together all those who have believed. He says it right here. He's going to pull them from all over the earth and all over heaven. What's he talking about? He's talking about all of Israel that is still alive. Because if you are a believer in Christ, you are a Gentile in Christ, in the tribulation, you will lose your life. Please understand that. The only individuals who are going to be left alive will be Israel. Notice I didn't say the Jews. Israel will be saved. Those who are of the bloodline, those who are chosen by God beforehand, predestined, pre-known, 144,000 of them will be sealed. We all know that, right? And all of them, plus those who have believed, will be saved through the tribulation. They're going to go through hell on earth. And then we who are in heaven are going to come with him, and he's going to collect Israel who is yet alive, and he is going to restore all things. But what a day that is going to be, because in that moment the King of Kings shows up, the Lord of Lords shows up. How does he end it all? We know this from the book of Revelation. By the word of his mouth. By the word of his mouth. I don't know about you, but I am looking for a day when I am on a beautiful white horse coming back with my Lord. But that day is also going to be a horrible, wretched day. It's going to be a day that none of us will ever, ever forget. Because it will be the day that we see God bringing an end to all the evil in this world. And we will be humbled to know that this God of wrath was also the greatest God of love we could ever hope for. Because in his love, he has saved us. And all he's asked that we do is recognize his Son and walk in him. We can't do anything else. There is nothing on this earth that we can do to be saved except believe, receive, and walk. My sin is still my sin, and I know it. And it destroys me every day. But the life I have in Christ Jesus who has set me free from the law of sin and death. Can I get an amen? Amen. Today is the day to choose. And I'm speaking to all of you out there. I'm speaking to everybody here. If you're falling short right now and you know you're not making the mark, turn from your sin and be saved. If you know you've backslidden and you're not walking the way you should be walking, turn from your sin and be saved. But Pastor, I'm already saved. Yep. But I need to claim Jesus Christ every day of my life, every moment of my life. Because the moment I don't walk with him, I'm walking in my sin, which is death. And I don't want that anymore. So today I speak to you, the church. Are we ready? Are you ready? I'm ready for a new beginning. How about you? But to get there, it's going to be tough. We're seeing here the words, be on alert. We don't know when it's coming, which means we need to be ready. We need to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. We need to be ready to glorify God in the moment's notice, in every moment of our lives. So today, you've got a snapshot. Be on the alert, because things are changing quickly. And I think it's funny when I think about that in the news that we just gave you about what possibility lays in store for us. Are things changing? Yeah. How quickly can they change? How many of you thought we'd be here 20 years ago? How many of you thought we'd be here 5 years ago? These things come fast. Evil knows no bounds. But God holds its boundary. And to that, I believe. And in Christ, I receive the grace and the salvation that is ours if we but ask and believe. Would you pray with me? Father God, right now I'm speaking to all of those out there who are unprepared for this time, that they would become alert. And Lord, the only way that happens is through the power of your Holy Spirit. So Father, I pray that right now, that as there are probably some hearing us, even at this moment, who need you right now to change their lives. Because, Lord God, we don't want to see these horrible things, but we know they're coming. And, Lord, not that we want to escape, but that we want life, and we want to live that life now. I ask for those who have made that conscious choice to believe that you are the Son of God. You've spoken these things, and they are happening at an exponential rate. This is the generation that you spoke of. So, Lord, may we choose you now. And if that's the case, then all we need do is pray the simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you are God. Forgive me of my sins. And I accept your payment upon the cross for all that I am and all that I've done. Forgive me, Father. Walk with me, teach me, and guide me. All I am is yours, and may all that I am be you in this world. Blessed be your holy name, Lord Jesus, both now and forever. And the church says, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.